Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. And happy NBA season. Grizzlies tip-off season number 25 tonight at FedEx Forum against the New Orleans Pelicans. We'll talk about that, of course. Today, also today, we got John Martin in the next segment. We'll talk to John about all manner of things. Chris Harrington, straight up at 10 o'clock. He has started ranking the all-time Grizzlies, Jeffrey. This is season 25, and so the 25 greatest Grizzlies. And they're going to be dropping throughout the year, his list. He doesn't have the whole list here unveiled at once. And he has started with number 25 today, which you can read at the Daily Memphian. That's Steven Adams. Does it feel to you like Steven Adams should be one of the 25 best Grizzlies ever? There's certainly a short stint. He played a total of 118 regular season games with the Grizzlies.
Was a big part of them winning their first ever division title.
He was a big part of the Grizzlies. And I don't know how much you count this stuff. Like
popularity.
He had an impact beyond what he did on the court, right? And there are others who are examples of that. Lorenzen, certainly. Sure. Shane, certainly. And so where do they fit? And should that stuff be counted? And I think it should. I think that stuff is part of it. So anyway, we'll talk to Chris about the Grizzlies, their opener tonight. Steven Adams, plus he has his weekly What's Happening in Film piece up at the Daily Memphian. We'll talk to him about that as well. Sam Hardiman will join us timely fashion because in addition to all the stuff that you know is going on in the city, he did a piece earlier this week on the new approach to fixing potholes, which did not help Jeffrey the other day. But we'll talk to Sam about potholes and other matters. So John Martin and then Chris Harrington and then Sam Hardiman. That is the lineup for today. Of course, a couple games last night that we will get to. The Grizzlies we will get to. I did want to open. I was at the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame last night. To say that I am an MC of this is such a wild exaggeration. It's Wolo and Jarvis and me, and all we do is we don't even introduce the honorees. We introduce the films that then introduce the honorees, and so we have a very minor role in the entire proceedings. But I'm flattered to be included in that group, and it is in fact a great event that they put on now annually, where they induct Memphis sports figures into the Hall of Fame. And I'm always struck by how touched people are to be honored in this fashion, even people who have been honored and honored and honored again, right? So last night, for example, we had Tony Allen was there. Tony Allen was, and Tony Allen has already been, he had his number retired this year. He went into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame this year, and now he's in the Memphis Sports Hall of Fame. But did Tony look thrilled? Tony looked absolutely thrilled, and it was sort of nice on the eve of this 25th Grizzlies season to hear from Tony again and to see Tony again, and he recalled the phone call he got. He was in Chicago when he was a free agent and thinking about where he was going to go next. And of course, he wanted to go back to Boston. And he's told the story before, but Glenn Ciprian, who had coached him at Oklahoma State, was a confidant and advisor and friend, basically said, "You're going to Memphis." And Tony's like, "No, I'm not. We're not going to Memphis. What the hell? No." But Sip explained to him, "You're getting a third year in your deal if you go to Memphis. This is the deal. You have to, you owe it to yourself to take this deal." And so Tony reluctantly took the deal. And look what happened next. I mean, truly, look what happened next. This is his home. He lives here. And he's embraced the place. The place has, as they say, embraced him back, and made a massive mark. It really goes to what I often say about Memphis, is that it's a place, like, would Tony, if he had ended up in Golden State or Dallas or, you know, would he have just been one of a 200 players who had come through. Oh, yeah. Ah, yeah. Tony Allen. Kind of remember him, right? Because he came here, it was different. And I do believe that that is true, not just in NBA basketball. I believe that is true in a lot of ways across the city, that you can have an impact here. And Tony is a perfect example of that. So it was great to see Tony. But then Matt Cain was there last night.
Wow.
And Matt Cain, top of your head, do you know how many people have pitched perfect games?
35.
I did not know. I introduced the film that introduced Matt Cain. 24 now. When he had done it, he was the 22nd.
Yeah.
And 14 Ks, I think it was. Maybe only Koufax had more among the people who had pitched perfect games. And, I mean, that's just like in the whole entire history of baseball.
Which has the longest history in professional sports.
When he did that, only 22 pitchers had ever done that. The guy was an absolute monster. Now, mind you, he doesn't have the number of wins that he should have had. They used to have a phrase in San Francisco called getting caned. Getting caned is when you give up, you know,
yep,
one run.
It was unearned and he lost.
I mean,
or no decision.
He would routinely, he would eat innings. He played all his career with one team. He was unbelievable in the postseason. He won 2 World Series, 3 All-Star games. He has had his number. He's on the Wall of Fame for the Giants. Just a beast of a player. Now, he won't make the Baseball Hall of Fame. He actually didn't make the ballot. 1 year, he made the ballot to make the Baseball Hall of Fame. And then what happens is if you don't get a certain number of votes, you fall off the ballot. And that's what happened to Matt Cain. He just didn't have the number of wins and the longevity.
Perfect example, his 08 season, his record was 8-14. He had a WAR of 4.5.
Yeah.
Like,
right. Just crazy. Just a tremendous, tremendous pitcher. And a funny story about him. When he was 11, his grandfather saw an ad in the CA. This is back when people looked at newspapers. These were physical things that would land on your driveway. And you'd pick them up, and that's where you got the news. It seems like the Flintstones now, but that's really how it used to be. And you'd turn the pages, and if you wanted to buy something or sell something, you had to put the words in that piece of paper that would land on the drive people's driveways. Anyway, a guy named a pitcher named Goose, I think. He was advertising, former major leaguer, will teach your kid how to pitch. It was $20 for half an hour, and Matt Cain's grandfather answered this ad. And sure enough, that was the first pitching lesson he got when he was 11. Matt Cain did. Actually, earlier this year, they had a dinner for mentors and people who'd shaped people's lives out in San Francisco. and Matt Cain arranged. They arranged to have Guzzo flown to San Francisco so he could be honored at that dinner. So he seems like, Matt Cain seems like a good dude in addition to a tremendous pitcher. But the amazing thing is inducted into the Memphis Hall of Fame. Couldn't have been more thrilled to be there with his family, with the people who had helped him. As you know, it means something in your hometown.
When you're from somewhere.
When you're from somewhere. Although it was interesting to me because about half the people last night were native and half the people had come from somewhere else and then made their mark in Memphis, like Joy Lee McNellis, for example.
Sure.
She's done from here, but she certainly had a massive impact here. I think 4 NCAA tournaments for the Tigers. I mean, just incredible what she used to do with that program. Tony Allen's obviously not from Memphis, but he 100% is a Memphian. And then you've got Matt Cain, who you know, grew up here. He didn't grow up. He was actually born in Alabama. He went to Houston High School. So it was really an emotional night at the convention center. The most, so Joy Lee McNellis, who died earlier this year, left Memphis because she wanted to coach at her alma mater, at Southern Miss. That's the only place that could have torn her away from here. And her husband, Dennis, was supposed to talk and he couldn't do it. And so her daughter, who was like, as Dennis told me later, he said, she's become Joy. Like
the voice of Joy.
Yeah. Like she gave the talk. And then Carrie Yurdy, who was inducted. So Carrie Yurdy, again, she grew up in, I think she was born in Oregon. She went to Washington. She went to school out the West Coast. She was a tremendous volleyball player. She came and is still the all-time winningest volleyball coach at the University of Memphis. But she was diagnosed with colon cancer. And she applied for a job at Briarcrest High School. And I know this from reading a piece by John Varlas that John Varlas did on her in the Daily Memphian. And mind you, she had already coached at Memphis for 12 years, I think, at this point. The only job that was available was a preschool PE teacher. So she took it. She became the volleyball coach at Briarcrest. And ultimately, 3 straight titles. Like, I don't know, do you remember the Briarcrest volleyball dynasty? Like, they were. She won 90. Her teams won 92% of their games. 92% of their games. She ultimately passed away from cancer. Her team then went on to win another in her honor. And her husband was there, and her 3 sons were there. And I don't know how her husband got through his remarks, talking about the life that his wife had led, the impact that she had had. Her sons, it was beautiful and it was heartbreaking. And so it was funny last night. It was a celebration, not just of these people who had meant so much to Memphis sports. It became a celebration of the place, to some extent as well. And at a time when we needed it. So that was great to be a part of. I appreciate all those, who, JJ, Greer, Jarvis's son, is instrumental in this. Kevin Cain is instrumental in this. I appreciate everybody who put it together. It was a great event. Fred Horton, also among those who were honored last night. Bubba Luckett, there were others, and it was a great event. Okay.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll talk to Chris. I was able to catch the end of the first NBA game and then the second. And we'll talk to Chris more about that. We may get into that later on. But I thought I'd start with just here we are on the, you know, Grizzlies tipping off tonight. And how should we feel about it? And I do think it's a bit of a tough year because, you know, the last 5 years, wouldn't you say we came in thinking, you know, certainly playoffs, even if it didn't turn out that way 2 years ago because they fell apart physically, but certainly playoffs, maybe we can get to number two in the West. You had big dreams. They didn't come true. There was only one playoff series win here, but there were big dreams. This is the first season in a long time when just in terms of W's and L's, goals, things that you can accomplish this year, there are not big dreams, right?
Yeah, and I can't figure out if that is the Oklahoma City of it all. I can't figure out if it's the Grizzlies of it all.
No, it's not the Oklahoma City of it all, because if you had the Houston Rockets roster, you would have big dreams.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I also think
if you had Denver's roster, you'd have big dreams.
I think also they kind of got caught in they built a team a certain way. The new CBA comes in and all of a sudden, like, building around three guys is no longer really feasible when you start to realize that, okay, you need the depth more than you need those three guys. And so
I think it's pretty simple. Like,
and then Ja hasn't played a lot.
It's pretty simple. They don't have as good a team. They don't have as good a team because of injury and because of the fact that they've rebuilt. They do not have as good a team this year. They just don't, for those two reasons. And so now, mind you, they could very well. I'm going to get to the optimism part of here this in a minute, because I'm excited and optimistic and curious. Unlike I sense, when I talk to some other people, like, I don't know, I'm excited and optimistic and curious about the direction of the franchise, all of those things. But in terms of what they seem likely to accomplish this year in terms of wins and losses.
Sure.
I mean, just look at the win totals. What's their win total?
I think it's 40.5.
And when has it last been that low? Years.
I'm trying to remember what it was.
Since they broke through.
I'm trying to remember what it was with Jaws' 25-game suspension.
I bet higher than that still. So it's been a long time since, in terms of W's, we've had this low expectation for the season. So does that mean doom and gloom? I don't feel that way. Now, mind you, you look at last night's games and you look at what Houston has, even in losing what they have, and you're like, oh man, this Memphis team is not there. Like, they got long athletes, they got Sengun doing what he's doing, they got you're not there. And the truth of the matter is, even like Golden State was looking kind of fragile. You know what they did? They got Jimmy Butler. And now you're like, man, Grizzlies aren't fair. You know, they're just not. They don't have as deep a roster, as many good players, and they are hopelessly injured.
It's the it's the lowest win total since the 2020-2021 season, where the Grizzlies had a 31.5 win total, and they won 38 games.
And that was?
That was the COVID year. So
they didn't even play as many games.
Correct.
That was Jaws.
No, I'm sorry, Jeff. That's the weird zombie year where sometimes there was fans, sometimes there weren't, and then they beat Golden State in the play-in and then lost to the Jazz.
Jaw's second year.
Yeah, they beat the Warriors in the play-in, and they go to the Jazz. They won game one, and then they a gentleman's sweep.
So the longest is since 2021. So 2021, 20. This is the last 5 years, they've all had a higher win total than this one.
Yes.
And so that's why expectations are lower. Of course they are. But some of this was intentional. If they had Desmond Bane today, right? If they had Ja, Dez, and Jaren suiting up tonight, they would have a higher win total.
Yeah.
So some of this was literally intentional. They said, you know what? We'd rather have Cedric Coward and whatever's behind door number two, whatever.
The flexibility to sign a Ty Jerome.
We'd rather have that. And so they, for flexibility, for future assets, and we don't, again, depth, some of these assets are
depth,
things that.
But it's not showing up because of injuries, but I do think depth was a huge part of it.
Yes, but they also, like, the biggest thing that they will get from that trade is a draft pick that hasn't landed yet.
100%.
Right? So they're building, they intentionally did the one step back. And then, on top of it, you had the injuries. And so you've intentionally said, we're going to re-gear here a little bit. And then you get the injuries you get. They aren't going to be in a position to stack as many wins. It just doesn't appear. So, why should you be interested or curious or even optimistic? And I think the reason you're optimistic, for me, is, I mean, this really is it for Jaren and Ja. Right?
So it's the first home, or excuse me, it's the first season opener that Ja and Jaren have played since the 2021-22 season.
So you've got those two, and we will see. Like, we will see how far they can carry you. They aren't enough. I mean, in and of themselves, they aren't enough in and of themselves. Of course, they have won when they've been together at a 60% win clip. They've won 60% of the games when they both play. But they were surrounded by a lot better players than they're going to be surrounded by tonight in most of those games. They had better reinforcements. So do I think that just because Ja and Jaren are suiting up, they will win 60% of their games? No, I do not. But could they win 50% of their games? Well, in the games in which Ja and Jaren both play, in order to hang on. And I've said this before, and this is what I really believe. By the end of the year, the goal for this team should be to feel like they're headed in the right direction. And our hope should be to know that we come out of the season feeling good about the direction of the team. And that's both off the court with the lease, progress on the lease, progress on nailing down their future here, and on the court. That is like, okay, this John Jaren thing is working. They stayed healthy. They're good together. And some of these pieces we now believe in. We now really believe that some of these pieces are pieces that are going to help carry them to the next level. It doesn't have to be all the pieces, but between Zach Edey and Jalen Wells and Cedric Coward, and then you name it, like KCP doesn't feel long-term, right? And Ty Jerome, but some of the young, Scottie Pippen Jr., if you still have any hope for Vince or GG, see what Santi, like, we have to know whether the two are the two or whether you're pivoting. And then you have to believe in, really believe in. Like, I don't think, some people believe in Zach Edey. Some people don't believe in Zach Edey. Right? Don't you think that's true? Some people are skeptical of Zach Edey. Some people believe in Zach. But the jury is not in on Zach Edey.
I agree with that. I think more casuals are
out and more. But more,
I think the extreme online is out because of like the loudness of his mistakes. I think the casual person.
I think the nerds are in though. The nerds are more in. But anyway, whatever. Here's the point. At the end, you want to be in. You want to be able to know. Like, he's obviously not going to be joining the fray at the beginning of the season. You want to be able to know that Zach Edey can be the third or fourth best player or on a really good team. Like, that would be great, right? You want to know that, oh, my God, look at this. We've been looking for wings for forever. Zaire, Marcus Smart, Jake LaRavia. Like, you just go through the list of wings who've been through here. We got one. We got one. You want to know that in Cedric Coward, we got one. Doesn't have to be on day two, day three, but by the end of the year. That is my hope for this team. That, because honestly, we've gone into the last however many years feeling better about the team. Win total, right? Higher win total. We haven't come out of the last few years feeling better about the team. You know what I mean? Like, you've come out of the these seasons kind of demoralized. You go in with high hopes. You come out demoralized. I want this year to be kind of the flip. This is the year where people come in with, I don't know. I want us to come out of this year with high hopes about the future of the franchise. And that, to me, again, it doesn't mean that you have to hit on everything. But you have to hit on enough of the peripheral pieces and on the two main pieces. And can you do that without making the play-in? I don't think so. In other words, if those things, if you're going to feel good about John Jaren and you're going to feel good about really good about three pieces around John Jaren, the only way that that can happen is if that can't happen if you're losing so many games that you're not even in the play-in. Think that's true? Can you imagine a way you could come out of this season feeling great and yet having them not be in the play-in?
The only thing I could see is, like, let's say these injuries early are too much to overcome. They dig such a massive hole.
But then they're killer at the end.
But from, like, all-star break on, like, they have the reverse of last year.
I think the play-in is such a low bar, though, that if they're killer from the all-star break on, they'll be in the play-in.
But I think there's really only two teams that are trying to suck.
That's true. That's true. But every team will get injured. You know, every team's going to get injured. Every team's going to suffer, you know, through problems.
I think you're right. I'm just open to the idea of what if you have basically, you know, 13 teams that are separated by, you know, 13 teams in the bottom.
Two way, but down.
Right.
Yeah, right. And the other reason I feel good about it is that you just remind yourself. And I wrote about this in the column that went up yesterday. You remind yourself the work that went into getting this NBA team at a time when no people had given up totally on the idea of bringing a major league franchise to Memphis. And I'm revisiting this because it's the 25th year. It was a lunatic. No one believed in the idea when the locals first came up with it. It was like, what? And we have to build them another arena? We just built the pyramid. And it was at a time, it wasn't exactly at this moment. Like right now is, I think, a tough moment in Memphis history. But that wasn't a glorious moment either. Like the freaking Memphis Chicks had just left for Jackson, Tennessee. Literally.
Yes.
The Memphis Chicks had just left for Jackson, Tennessee.
That is a factual statement.
And a bunch of Memphians said, we have to do something. And I think there's something instructive about that. You know, you can either feel woebegone or you can do something. And they did something. And they brought in this team, and everyone said they'd be gone within 2 years or 3 years or 5 years. And, you know, John Calipari talks about how there were for sale signs in his lawn about his own, you know, trying to get him out of here after 3 years. That's a fiction. They weren't. But there were 100% many signs up around town that said no taxes NBA.
Absolutely.
Many more of those that said NBA now or whatever. I think that was the other one. No taxes NBA. And they came in here, and it is hard to imagine this team, this city, without the Grizzlies. It doesn't mean the Grizzlies are the most important thing. Of course they're not the most important thing. Safety is more important. Schools are more important. Like, there's a lot of things. Health is more important. There's a lot of things that are more important than the Grizzlies. But they're also important. And if you just think about it, the way that we have this city, literally the words grit and grind had never been associated with Memphis until Tony Allen claimed them for Memphis. Like, it was Memphis was Bluff City. You know, Memphis was whatever, Blues City. Memphis was Ribs and Bar. You know, Memphis was Grace. Memphis was, but people might have said we're gritty or what. Like you,
no, but it was not. It was not a mantra.
It was not at all. Those words were not associated with this city.
Totally agree.
And now it is literally how we define ourselves. It's grind city this and grind city that, and we name breweries and coffee shops and bicycling teams, and like, how do you think of, oh, we're grind city, man? That's what we are. It's literally, they are responsible for how we think of ourselves and how we define ourselves when it's in a good way, in a good way. And then you just think of, like, I don't know. Like, again, we talked about this yesterday. There is not a kid in Memphis now. There's no one under the age of 30 in Memphis who can conceive of or remember a city without the Grizzlies. Like, all the stuff, you know, hammer, nail, coffin, growl towels everywhere. Like, the they are, as Andy Dolich, the former Grizzlies president, used to say, now part of the DNA. You want to become part of the DNA. That's what he would say. They are part of the DNA. And every season isn't going to be a season where you enter that season with hopes of a championship. Let me ask you this. Do your New York Giants have hope of a championship this year?
They do not.
No. Do the Tennessee Titans have hope? No. Every season is not going to be a season in which you enter with hopes of a championship. Do the Memphis Tiger basketball team have really hopes of a championship this year? I don't think so.
Like, not a national championship.
That's what I mean. Yeah. A national championship? No. There's different places in the trajectory. And they're at a place now, they're not at a hopeless, woeful, pathetic, oh my God, we're Charlotte, we're Washington, we're you. Like, they're not at that place. We've been wandering around for forever. But they're not a team that we're entering this season thinking, oh, you know what? We could finish second in the West. And then if Shai Gilgeous-Alexander sprains an ankle, you never know what's going to happen. Like, that's where we've been. They've never been the dominant team in the West. They were always, hey, we could get to be second or third or whatever, and then you never know what's going to happen. That's where you have to ultimately go to, because they've never been the best team. But those were the dreams. The dreams are different this year. The dreams are, let's reset this team and see what we look like coming out of this season with two first-round picks, with Ja, with Jaren, Cedric Howard, maybe. We'll see what that is. With Jalen Wells, maybe. We'll see what that is. This is a reset year. It just is. It's a reset year during which you can still show up to games and watch literally a guy who is top three, top two, maybe top one most entertaining player to watch on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, there was a video going around on social media. I don't know if you saw it yesterday.
I did. This is
about
great.
Like, it's like European soccer players, and like they had one of the guys they know like quickly was John Morant.
This was Premier League players, I think, and they would show them the picture of a random NBA star, Jason Tatum, for example. Who else did they show?
I thought it was both Boston guys.
Jaylen Brown?
They should Brown.
Anyway, and if you put up a picture of Jason Tatum, some would say, eh, I don't know who that is. Tyrese Halliburton was another one.
Yeah.
They put up Tyrese Halliburton, and they're like, literally, you put up a picture of Ja Morant, and they all instantly said, Ja. Like, he is, we are blessed with the most mesmerizing basketball player on the planet.
Yes. Something we've never seen. Yes.
And so in a reset year, not a dismal year, but in a reset year, you can watch the most mesmerizing player on the planet when he's healthy. That's pretty good. I'll tell you this, beats the hell out of the hound dogs, which is what we used to have.
I think if I combine, because I really liked how Chris kind of defined the season yesterday. Basically, he said, you want to feel like when you get to the end of the season, it's a better team than the record. And I think combining it with you, where you're spot on is, it feels like the last few years, for various different reasons, they've just ended where you're just like, I just want to watch something else. And it's not even
almost
like
relief.
Yeah, it's not
the
even
last
like
two seasons. Literally, the last correct. Game. I mean, the last year, the last game, no one showed up. You just wanted the season to be over. The season before that, we couldn't wait for the season to be over.
And there's reasons for it and whatnot. I think the key is feel like you're a better team than what your record shows at the end of the year. And then when you get to the end of the year, you want to leave feeling like, I think I'm going to miss it.
Yeah. On the just real quick on the lease stuff. Listen, would I prefer it if they were locked into a 30-year long-term lease? 100%. I would prefer that. I'd feel better about it. Do I think there's legitimate and has been legitimate worry over the past couple of years about the future of the team in Memphis? I do. For the first time ever. That was never a thing. Never a thing before. But it's something I now, it was something I never worried about, and now it is something that I worry about. So let's just put that out there. Having said that, I've said this a million times, if Robert Pera wanted to take the team out of Memphis, he had had a million chances to do so, including when the Grizzlies fell short of this shortfall provision in their lease so they could have exercised their exit clause and gotten the heck out of here. And then honestly, the other thing Robert Pera could have done is he could have just said, oh yeah, I'll stay in Memphis. You have to do what Oklahoma City is doing for me and build me a $1 billion arena. And Memphis, to that, would have had to say, we can't do that. And they, well, okay, fine. That's fine. He didn't do any of those things. He is completely content to have a team in Memphis. But, and this is the but, and it's real, not the Memphis of the last year, 2 years. You know what I mean? Like the safety stuff has been real for them. It has been real. And you want to know that you can compete here. And you want the area that you're locking yourself into to be improved. Here's the truth. Even before the recent surge, they have seen dramatic improvement, real improvement in safety around that downtown area. It's already considerably better. And that's great. And honestly, we had a story at the Daily Memphian about the numbers getting better still. And so that's great. They want to figure out Beale Street. They want to figure out Beale Street. I mean, that's sort of what's happening here. Negotiations are still going on, but largely it's still about, while we have leverage to try to clean up this neighborhood, to try to make this neighborhood a neighborhood that we want to be part of for the next 30 years, let's use the leverage we have to accomplish what we want to accomplish. I think there's a very good chance that by the end of the year, there is some kind of a better understanding of this, but I think there's heavy lifting that needs to be done. Again, not under threat of let's get the hell out of here, but because they want it to be better. And as long as that's there, like, could attendance plummet? Could there be some new crime wave? Like, bad things could happen. Like, as long as it's still up in the air, there's uncertainty because bad things could happen. Things could take a turn. So I'm not saying it's over either way. I think it's I'm hopeful. I'll say that. I'm hopeful. And here's the truth. I'm also kind of grateful as a Memphian that the Grizzlies are using the leverage they have to make this a better Memphis. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk to John Martin on the other side. It's Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN. I've been telling you about ProHealth.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Among the things to do at ProHealth is testosterone replacement therapy. So if you feel like you're dragging, losing muscle, brain fog, you can just chalk it up to, I'm just getting older, but maybe not. ProHealth will check your testosterone levels and help you restore them. I was reading, honestly, a piece just today about what testosterone can do for you as you're getting older. There's no shame in this at all. It's just science. It's better living. No shame in fixing what is broken. And if it's fixable, why not fix it? So if you've got low energy, weight gain, mood swing, go on in and see, have your testosterone checked and see what they can do for you. It is ProHealth. They've got offices in Germantown, Collierville, Bartlett. They've got two in East Memphis. To learn more about their testosterone replacement therapy, about their sinus cocktail shots, or about their weight loss shot, that's the semaglutide shot, you can check them out at ProHealthMemphis.com. All right, Jeffrey, are we joined by John Martin?
We're still waiting.
We're still waiting on John Martin. Let me ask you this. What time do we have normally go to John Martin?
Usually 9:40.
But really, he's the second segment. I sort of consider 9:30, 9:35 when John should be waiting for us with bated breath, but no John Martin.
He's I'm just waiting for him to join via Zoom.
Are you waiting for him to join via Zoom? Okay, let me while we do that, here's another thing I wanted to discuss. And that is this. So Chris Harrington dropped his top five. He's going to have his list of top 25 Grizzlies. Okay. And his number 25 Grizzly was, now I'm on a roll. And now we got John. John, how are you? What's your excuse? Do you realize?
I had some affairs. I had to get in order.
Do you realize, like, it's almost time for you to leave? Like, you're just joining us now. Do I ever?
Well, that's your fault. That's your fault for droning on.
Do I ever do this to you?
Yes.
Never. Never. There's never been a time where you've said, Brad says, hey, we're going to Jeff. He's not ready yet. Literally, literally never.
I needed 60 seconds. And you got to me at 9:45. How dare you?
Well, yeah, if I had gotten you at 9:35, I would have been waiting 10 minutes and 60 seconds.
No, I just assumed you weren't having me. I mean, yeah,
you're ridiculous.
9:35 goes,
you're ridiculous.
9:36 goes.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel better about the Memphis Tiger football program or the Memphis Grizzlies?
Like, you mean like
just
today?
Generally, globally speaking, do you feel better about the Memphis Tiger football program or the Memphis Grizzlies?
I think I feel better about the Grizzlies.
Okay, why?
Because they have consistent year-to-year talent, at the very least. At least two guys that I know. And I could talk myself into more. Whereas with Memphis,
I ask you this question because I know you're pretty low right now on both, right? And so I'm trying to get you to say something nice about someone, and so I didn't.
I just did.
Well, actually, if I had thrown Memphis basketball in there, let's say that, which I didn't put him in there originally because I thought maybe you still actually would feel good about. Like I thought that would give you an out, but.
Right.
Who do you feel better about, Memphis basketball, Memphis football, or the Memphis Grizzlies?
Oh, my God. I would still say the Grizzlies at the moment. Like, you're talking globally. You're not talking about today, right?
I mean, I think wrapped into this question is, yeah, some of it is just like globally. Like how do you feel about the team? And to that, you might just say, like, even if it were Charlotte or the Wizards, you'd feel globally about them better, because unlike Tiger basketball and Tiger football, the Grizzlies are one of the, you know, they're on the same, you know, they have the opportunity to win a national championship, a championship in their sport, right? If they did everything right, if they got lucky in the lottery, if they drafted the right people, there is no reason the Grizzlies can't win a title. I don't think that you can say that about Memphis football. You might still be able to say that you think the Tigers basketball team can win a title. So anyway, so there's that globally. But then also just how do you feel about the state of them today, the momentum, where they are, all of that. I think that's wrapped into the question too.
Well, I mean, look, I think to take these at, you know, year-to-year snapshots. Like, I don't feel good about the Grizzlies today because I don't think they're going to have the season that people want them to have. That's not necessarily something that's in their control. It is and it isn't, right? The injury disaster is not in their control as much as some conspiracy theorists would like it to be. It's just not. So that's sort of separate, right? I mean, they obviously have a really nice setup for the future with, you know, they can figure out what they want to do with Ja. They have the Phoenix pick. They have their own pick. Like, they have ways that they could really, you know, make some noise here, you know, in the future. And, like, it's impossible to forecast what's going to happen with Memphis basketball and Memphis football in the future. They don't even know what's going to happen for them in the future. Like,
they're in a harder place than the Grizzlies, though, right? We can agree there, right?
Oh, no question about it. No question about it.
In terms of
you thought I was going to come on here and say that Memphis college sports is in better shape than the Grizzlies?
But then in terms of structurally the Grizzlies are in a better place. In terms of what they are getting out of the opportunity in front of them, where are the football and basketball and Grizzlies programs?
Well, I mean, you would have said 2 years ago the Grizzlies were way out in front. I mean, and you would have said Memphis basketball was decidedly last. You know, these things kind of morphed and have morphed.
It's funny. One thing about Memphis basketball, well, this pops in my head. I was listening to the new Notre Dame coach. He's new, second year. He's new as Notre Dame coach, second year? First year. Second year. I think second year coach. Came from Penn State, I believe. Anyway, he was being interviewed. You know why it was? It was because I don't know. They were talking about James Franklin, and he said, you know, we the reason to feel good about our team this year is we've got seven guys back, and he said that may not sound like a lot, but in this environment, that may not sound like a lot. Seven guys back, I would kill for seven guys back. Like, it is not actually a law that Penny cannot bring a single player back from year to year, and that's on him.
It is. Now, it's like not a lot of places do that. I mean, not a lot of places bring players back. I mean, it's just
players back.
Yes, I would agree. That's a shortcoming of Penny Hardaway for sure. There's no doubt. And he says, you know, he recognizes that, but it does. It makes his job infinitely harder because he's starting over every single solitary year with a bunch of new guys that, you know, at some point the cohesiveness doesn't happen. I mean, he's probably 2-1 right now, right? Like 2022-23 new team, you know, they should have got to the Sweet 16. They had Kendrick Davis. They were pretty damn good. 23-24 as an L. Disastrous, even if it was top 10 at one time. And then last year, you'd say it was a win. 5 seed.
Why'd you start counting then?
Because that's like kind of when the new team started, right? Like 22-23. 21-22, you still had like DeAndre Williams coming back. You still had Landers Nolly coming back. Like,
those were the days when you had guys. Oh, I see. Since he's been rebuilding teams, that's what you're saying. Since he's been rebuilding teams.
Yeah, and that's when the turnover really...
And then on the Grizzlies, what you said was you're not that high on them right now because you don't think they're going to in a position to accomplish what a lot of people want them to accomplish. In some abstract way, I don't know anyone. I guess you told me Anthony Sane has high aspirations for this team. I don't know anyone. Like, the win total's 40. It's the first time it's been that low since Ja's second season, right? Like,
right.
It's
right.
And it's intentional. It's they decided to trade. Like, if they had Desmond Bane, for whatever else they did, if they had Desmond Bane suiting up in addition to Ja and Jaren, Des is healthy, you'd feel a lot more W's coming, even if the other injuries. You'd feel like, well, they got three guys now. There's more W's. They intentionally, you know, decided to retool, and then the injuries hit. So I don't look at it like, you know what, they're going to fall short of everybody's goal of them being a top four team. I don't know who could reasonably have that goal. The goal is...
Well, yeah, no, it's fair to say to be saying, he was saying this 3 weeks ago, right? So I haven't asked him for his updated projections, but, you know, I do think fundamentally, right, and there's nothing wrong with this, like... people are optimistic, you know? People are optimistic. And when it comes to my sports teams, I generally am not optimistic. Like, I don't...
I heard you talking about the Raiders. You thought Geno Smith was a top 10 quarterback in the league.
Well, he was at that time. And then, of course, like, this is why I'm not optimistic. This is why I stopped doing that. Like, you're just better off... Like, I do take your view of things, like... Your view of the Bills, who have a freaking MVP quarterback, is like, this team's not going anywhere ever. They're not going to do anything. Like, they can't be the Chiefs.
I'm realistic. They're a very good team. They're a good team, but they're not good enough.
And I think, like, the realistic take about the Grizzlies is that, like, it's kind of like, I don't know if they're very good anymore. I think
no, they're not. But they're not even intending to be very good.
Well, they were intending to be good.
You said very good. They were intending to be good. And to have they were trying to rebuild the airplane on the fly.
Right.
But I think they acknowledge when you trade Desmond Bane for the only real piece, you know, you're trading Desmond Bane and you're getting Cedric Howard back. That's not going to make you better. You know what I mean? Like, even if you're adding KCP as part of the deal, that's not going to make you better year over year. It's going to make you better in 2 years or 3 years. Now, will this work? I don't know. That's a big question. Will it work? I have no idea. But that they very clearly intended to retool, and understanding that would be a step back. And how about this, John? In terms of for a down year for the Grizzlies, or a year with diminished expectations, you still get to show up every night and watch. Like, where is Ja on the list of most exciting basketball players in the world for you?
I mean, he's definitely top five right now.
Who else would you say most exciting basketball players in the world when they're healthy and playing?
I love watching Jokic.
I love watching Jokic. Yeah.
Now, I don't think
exciting in the traditional way.
Right, but I mean, like, just watching him, like,
it's fun, you know, watching him dominate a game and
slice through defenses and pass. Yeah.
He's fun to watch.
So I have him in there. I mean, come on, Giannis. Like, even though Giannis just has the one move where
he's not as fun to watch as Ja. He's just not.
He doesn't do the things that Ja can do.
He feels more dominant and inevitable than Ja, but he is not more fun to watch than Ja.
Like, I'm not saying I didn't rank all these. I'm just giving you the people
that's
that come
fine.
In my mind.
Okay, you're putting him in there.
Giannis is like, just watch a guy that size run the floor like that. It's just
how about
nuts. I'm not really there with Wimby yet. I'm not saying he can't get there, but I'm not there with him yet. Luka, you know?
Yeah,
Luka is a guy that
he's mesmerizing.
You know what, Kyrie? When Kyrie is healthy, I love watching that dude play basketball. I mean, he's such a wizard. So I think Kyrie's in that discussion. But yeah, like
asked the Premier League players, you saw this clip, didn't you? They all knew who Ja was. Did you see this clip yesterday?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Anyway, they put a bunch of NBA players, pictures of them up, like Jason Tatum and Tyrese Halliburton, and they're like, yeah. I don't know who that is, or I kind of know who that is. Is that Jason Tatum? Like that. They put Ja's picture up, every one of them. Ja, 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 my guy Ja. Like, he's different.
Ja's a star. Ja's box office. That's why Ja couldn't entertain trading Ja, right? Because you need him to get people down there in a year that, you know, may not be great in terms of wins and losses, right? The only issue with that is, like, how much Ja are we going to get? And that's the fundamental crisis. Hopefully,
and when Ja is not playing, what are we going to see?
You're going to see Javon Small. That's
like, Ja's going to miss a game in the next 10, probably, right? Javon Small's your starting point guard?
It's a guarantee.
Guarantee.
It's a guarantee.
And Javon Small is going to be your starting point guard?
They don't have a choice. What's their choice?
They don't have a choice.
They could play, you know, they could play, I guess they could try to, like, piece it together and
No, it's
going to
be Javon Small.
Yeah. I was going to say they could do KCP maybe at the point and then, like, move some guys around on the wing if they really didn't try. And look, I think the fact that, like, we're talking about a guy that was drafted 48th overall is nuts. Because, like, again, with Ja Morant, you become the pseudo starting point guard when you're the backup. It's just the way it goes. So this is very unfortunate for the Grizzlies. But if Ja's out there, it's at least exciting. How many wins it will lead to in this iteration? I think that remains to be seen.
I always do this now. Give me one or two bets for this weekend that you've already placed.
I haven't placed any.
None?
I haven't placed any. I don't know.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.